Welcome to the LifeInvestigated.com podcast today. This is part two of the fear campaign. As we started yesterday, the previous video, we talked about the psychological warfare that was produced against us as American citizens, really as the world, but yesterday that was instituted by China as a direct warfare against the world. As I stated in yesterday's podcast, in my opinion, that's when World War III actually started, because this was actually an aggressive campaign that was committed against the entire world, but I believe specifically directed at America. And facts have started to prove certain things out. We know now, but anybody with common sense already knew where it come from, just from the information that was available. As I said yesterday, I expect by June of 2025, with the Trump administration, I expect some real documentation to come out about exactly what was done and why it was done. It was not an accidental leak. And to reiterate why I'm bringing this up now, and why I'm bringing it up particularly from the perspective of psychological warfare, i.e. the fear campaign, it's because they're going to do it again. As I stated yesterday, or in the first podcast, who was doing it? Number one, it was a foreign entity. It was a direct aggressive attack. So it's warfare. Number two, the criminal element that's in charge of the United States and the criminal element that's in charge of other nations in the country all had a conspiracy going. Why? Because they were benefiting financially, and it was giving them more control over their constituents, which is what the enemy always wants. The enemy in any battle, the reason they are at war with you is for what reason? Common sense tells you it's because they want control of you and what you have. Now, I can bring it all the way back to the very beginning of time, as we know, for the Adamic race, and I can get scriptural about it. It's always been about control. The enemy, God's enemy, Satan, it's always been about control. And so that same spirit that is prevalent in the world and has been and will be until the millennial reign comes, that same spirit is going to increase. It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger until the final battle. This is not really about religion this morning, although it's certainly not a theological debate, although everything relates back to that. There's no way to deny it. But I want to speak more of the realistic viewpoint that we are in this issue. We know that for the last 4 years, essentially, this country has been occupied. Well, there have been many foreign powers that have had control into, or at least had a major say-so into, the policies of this country. So we know that Biden has not been the president as far as the functioning president. We know he has been the face of the presidency, but he has not been the president. We know that it's been other people and senior staffers that have made decisive policies concerning the American citizen. Some of those are in the pocket of China. Some of those people are in the pocket of other foreign entities. We already know the Bidens are in the pocket to anyone who bids the highest. So essentially, for the last 4 years, we've been an occupied nation. They tried to take away all of our rights. They limited our rights very much to the point of almost we were subjects and not citizens. But at this point, anyway, the American voting population made a different decision for this time. It's not going to be like this forever. And Trump has some very, very rough seas to navigate starting January 20th. There's not going to be a honeymoon period. So just get that in your mind to start with. And they are making plans, the criminal element and the foreign entities that are involved with the criminal element that's in charge of this country. They're already making plans to deconstruct everything that the Trump administration is trying to construct. So it's already working. Now, the reason I'm bringing up COVID and the fear campaign is they found an effective warfare strategy in COVID. So they're going to bring it back. That's why I'm doing these podcasts, to bring it up again and try to get some attention focused and get some preparation focused to where we will be better suited to deal with the next one. So how do I know that it's coming back? Well, okay, anybody, any military operative will tell you, if it worked once, why not try it again? I mean, why keep reinventing the wheel? So if you have an effective strategy that you were victorious in, why change it? And by the way, the criminal element, they were effective with the warfare strategy that they introduced to America and the world with COVID. And how did they do it? It was psychological warfare, and it was related to fear. Everybody during COVID was in fear, even for the people who tried to proclaim, oh, I'm not believing this, da da da. They were. Because if they were not in fear, there would have been a revolt. There would have been an outright, all-out revolt. So a lot of people said they weren't going to do this and do that, but yet they complied. They complied through, as we talked about yesterday, the strategy of coming against you and manipulating you through misinformation and through bringing penalties against you with your jobs and different things like that, and penalizing you and shaming you. They COVID shamed you if you didn't have the vaccine that was produced in 2 weeks. Okay, and I forgot to elaborate further on that last night. They didn't produce that in 2 weeks. Somebody already had a head start. Even if it was a poor vaccine, which it probably was, and even if it had harmful side effects to it or long-term side effects, it probably did, and probably haven't seen the total side effects to it yet. You still didn't produce that. Three different companies didn't produce that quick. We talked about the investigative process last night. And clinical research and all of that. It just didn't happen that quick. So either they were already preparing, had advance warning, or they were in cahoots. China was saying to the American criminal element and the other criminal elements in the world, let's go ahead and get a head start so we can subject them to us. Well, we've got the vaccine, so if you want to be cured or if you don't want to get this, then you have to do it our way. And that's what everybody did. And you got shamed into not having it. And then you had, I even had landlords try to force me into getting it. No, you're not going to force me into anything. And especially when I'm paying for something, you're not going to tell me how I have to pay for something and how I have to, what my limitations are. If you're going to take my money, then I'm going to be in my office, or I'm going to do whatever I want to the way I want to. In a store, if you're going to take my money, I'm going to come in that store the way that I want to come in that store. I'm prepared, and I was prepared during COVID to suffer the criminal repercussions, or whatever it happened to be, the financial repercussions. I lost work during COVID because I'm not agreeing to the bullshit. Pure and simple, not going to do it. So let's talk about, so I started talking about at the end of the previous podcast about the psychological fear. And what did the psychological fear campaign, what did it cause us to do? It heightened stress. So let me say this again. Legitimate studies that have been completed since the beginning of COVID from well-learned people, not country boys like me, but well-learned people, said that fear-based messaging can have long-term psychological impacts, including heightened stress, anxiety disorders, and the erosion of critical thinking. So that's where I left off, the erosion of critical thinking. And I really particularly called out, or am calling out, the critical thinking issue in this podcast for this reason. When a person does not have the ability to critically think or process through any situation in life, it becomes chaos. Well, the enemy knows that. If the enemy can cause confusion in addition to the fear, then all they have to do is walk in. They don't even have to fight you. They just have to walk in and take you. Take what's yours and just take over. And we know fear has been a compliance issue for subjects all through warfare. Just read any book. Read any history book that concerns warfare. And you'll see it. You'll see the fear tactic employed even before mass media come into effect. So why is critical thinking so important? And I left it at this with the previous podcast. Many of you, and I have said it too, you go out into society and you're so perplexed about the actions of people, you're going, what is wrong with this world? What is wrong with these people? What were they thinking? Have you ever said that when you see something, you go, what were they thinking? Well, that's just it. They have lost their critical thinking ability. So what is critical thinking? What is critical thinking? Critical thinking is a fundamental skill. We all have the ability, quite frankly, to process things in such manner. We're designed that way. Some people do it more than others, but we all have the ability to fundamentally think things through and analyze, because that's what critical thinking allows us to do. It allows us to analyze the information that's in front of us that we are receiving. When you fail to analyze the information that's in front of you, then you will make an assumption that's wrong. I tell people this in investigations and in investigative classes all the time. If you make an assumption about an investigation at the beginning, most likely the outcome will be different and the outcome will be wrong, or you will have wasted resources and time. So you have to process it out. The beginning of any investigation, you have to process the investigation out in multiple formats and say, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe this. Let's see what the facts produce. So in other words, I don't just jump to a conclusion when a client comes into me and says, my wife's cheating on me, or my husband is dealing drugs with our child in his house, and I want custody of my child. Or, you know, if I'm working a criminal defense case, I don't just automatically say the subject is guilty because he's been charged, or certainly don't say he's innocent either. I have to process the information through objectively, in a critical sense, looking at every aspect of it. So it's fundamental. It allows us to make informed decisions. So what happens when we come into the context of a fear campaign? That is the most powerful tool that the enemy has to manipulate. And when someone can manipulate you, you're what? You're a puppet. They pull the strings and you do exactly what they want you to do. It's exactly what the presidency's been for the last 4 years. The people pulling the strings on the puppet Biden have directed everything he's done, whoever those people have been. And I believe it's been multiple sources. But the puppet strings, the puppet masters had control. And that's what they tried to do to you during COVID. And most people, they accomplished that, quite frankly. Most people, they accomplished that. And most institutions in this country, they accomplished the manipulation fear tactic. It caused people to shut down, businesses to shut down, churches to shut down, who churches proclaimed, oh, we're essential, but yet they kept their doors locked. And so on and so on. So what does critical thinking do? Number one, it enhances decision making. Critical thinking helps individuals weigh the evidence that's presented, then identify the biases. Then we can assess the validity of the claims before accepting them as truth. Process the validity of what's being told to you before you say, oh, well, that's the truth. People often make a joke and say, well, it's on the internet, so it must be true, talking about all of the falsehoods that are, well, I'm assuming they're talking about the falsehoods of all the information that's on the internet. At least that's the way I take it when someone says that. It's that sarcastic remark to something. So, but you know what? I found out the more I listen to people and watch podcasts and newscasts and just observe people out in the general public, a lot of people no longer do that. If they're told that on their favorite news media, if they're told that on their podcast, they automatically, well, that's got to be the truth because so-and-so said it. And what the other thing I've noticed, a lot of people don't even get it firsthand off the podcast or the newscast. Someone else will tell them what the podcaster or the newscaster or the newspaper said. Well, nobody really looks at newspapers much anymore, but somebody else will tell them, oh, well, that must be true. Why do they do that? Because they've lost their ability to critically think and process information. So critical thinking enhances decision making. What else does critical thinking do? It builds resilience. The more that we engage in critical thinking, the less likely we will succumb to fear-based propaganda. Propaganda is a tool that's been used all through the wars that we know of in American history. Especially, it was real popular. Propaganda was real popular in World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. I mean, we know that from historical facts. If you don't believe me, be a critical thinker and go back and research it. When we fall to the propaganda, then we fail to look for a balanced solution for the issue. And balance is the key to everything. We're told in Scripture to live a balanced life. We're told to eat a balanced diet. We're told to balance our finances. And it's all scriptural, but that's the way. When you live a balanced life, you will live a prosperous life. When you live a balanced life, you will live a more healthy life. And when you're living a balanced life, your mental processes will work more keenly and sharply for you than if you're out of balance in one way or the other. Leads me into my next point. What does critical thinking else does critical thinking produce? It promotes good mental health. It clears the cobwebs out, so to speak. You know, you may have a certain belief, and you feel like that belief is right and true, at least for you in your life, but you think it's right. Then you have these fear campaigns coming into you trying to destroy your critical thinking ability, and then what happens? Well, you develop a contradicting belief or conflicting belief to what you've held true. In other words, they're trying to get you to switch sides. And your brain's working against you. I mean, you know, you've got this battle going on up here. You're getting all this fear-based information, all of this false information. You're getting all of this community or peer pressure. You're getting threatened by the government for repercussions of criminal or civil issues. And so what you've held true and dear to you in your life, you start to have an unbalanced mental clarity. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know the proper terminology to use. I can just tell you how I see it. So, but then what happens next? When you have conflicting belief issues, what happens next? Stress. And then what does stress do? Stress breaks you down. It breaks you down mentally, since we're talking mental right now. It breaks you down physically. It breaks you down relationship-wise. And you begin to lose your critical thinking ability. But when we've got a clear thinking head, so to speak, and we're holding true to our beliefs, and we're processing. You see, a man or a woman that holds true to his beliefs will still process information critically, right? Because we always have to leave the door open. Yes, we may be perceiving this wrong, or I may be wrong in this situation. I do have to investigate and explore what might be out of balance in my life, or maybe this is true. Or some of it's true, maybe I have to look and see what part of this, if any, that I will accept. And when you think like that, and you've blocked out the stress, but you've got a clear thinking ability, what happens to you then? Then your mental health is better. You're not conflicted. So you can, I keep using one-liners and songs that I can't remember the titles or names to, because they're really not important to me. I do like music, but I don't always pay attention to the artist or the titles of songs. And most any song I'm going to refer to is going to be, you know, like older, because I wouldn't even have any idea who the new popular people are right now, because I can't understand anything they say usually. But there is a song somewhere from the past, from the oldies, the oldies. Somebody said they were playing oldies the other day, and they were playing music from 2000. And I realized my age then, because oldies to me is the music from the 50s and the 60s. And there is a one-liner in a song that says, "And I can see clearly now," and I can't remember the rest of it. Something I probably could if I really tried, but But that song, that one line, I can see clearly now. That's what I'm speaking about when it comes to mental clarity and alleviating the stress through critical thinking. You start to see clear. And who knows? You may start to see clear the other side. Maybe the other side isn't your enemy. You have to pursue that. Is this issue that's happening in my life, is it really an enemy against me? Or is it something that has come into my life to enhance my life? You see, I can't tell you what it is. You mentally have to process through your critical thinking skills. Is this good for me or is this bad for me? No one can tell you that. They can give you guidelines. They can give you suggestions. But when it comes down to it, if you are a critical thinker, you will know what is the right and the wrong. It's like I tell people again all the time when we're talking about self-defense or protection of some kind. And there's probably never been a situation in a class that I've taught, and I've taught, I figured it up not long ago in my time as a certified trainer in different disciplines. I've got and records to prove it. I have taught over 30,000 hours of classes of instruction. And that's been within just the last 20 years. There's probably not a class that comes around that I don't say this. Trust your instincts. Trust your instincts. We might say trust your gut. If your gut's telling you it's wrong, if your instincts are telling you something's wrong, then it probably is. So we have to have that clarity in all things. And then what does critical thinking do? It encourages accountability. You see, the one thing the government didn't like through COVID, and the one thing the liberals didn't like, and the control tanks, not think tanks, the control tanks that operate in this country, and they were operating before Biden, okay? They've operated, the control tanks, as I'm calling them, have operated since the institution of the writing of the Constitution of the United States of America. It's been there, and it will always be there. Trump's not taking it out, and no one else is either. It's bigger than everyone. It's not bigger than God. God will eventually take it out, but it's there. That's what these Democrats telling about all the new plans Trump has, the Doge, this. What they really are saying when they're saying, you know, Doge is not going to be that easy, and da da da. What they're really saying is, the machine is bigger than you, Trump. The machine is bigger than Doge. The machine's bigger than Elon Musk, and any of the rest of them. That's what they're really saying, but they can't really say that because then they would have to reveal too much information. But what does critical thinking? It encourages accountability. It demands transparency. When you had all the people standing up, or the ones that did stand up during the COVID campaign, remember it was a campaign of war. I'm not saying COVID wasn't real. It is real. I've had it myself, so I know it's real. So is cold flu. Oh, I did forget this. I meant to clarify something when I said they're going to use it again. I've already got proof that they're trying to do it again. Little Gavin Newsom, the little pretty boy governor out in California, 4 days ago now, declared a state of emergency for California because of the rise of bird flu in cows in California. And the statement said, and other states, because of the rise in other states, he's declared a state of emergency for California. At the last time that I looked at it, there had been one person I think, die with bird flu in Louisiana, not California. And as far as I know, or at least I haven't seen the information yet, Louisiana has not declared a state of emergency, but California has. Why is it significant that California has declared a state of emergency over another potential pandemic? Well, number one, everybody that has any common sense knows that Newsom's going to try to be president. The only reason he's not being more aggressive with it right now is because he hasn't got little Cammy girl out of the way yet. As soon as he gets her out of the way totally, then he will begin an aggressive campaign to be the next president. And he knows how to use this tool well. He knows how to use this psychological warfare of fear and breaking people down well. Look to what he'd done to his own state. And the other thing that's significant about it is the size of California. So if he can, again, subjugate Californians to the psychological fear campaign and cause them to just automatically bow down and worship him. In other words, they let their critical thinking and their ability to oppose just be put into a bowl over here called inactive, into the inactive file. Then he'll know what to do when he starts to try to infiltrate the rest of the country. So it's coming again. So the criminal element, which I consider him part of the criminal element in this country, whatever foreign entity is in his pocket, which I suspect he's in the pocket, or I should say who he's in the pocket of, I suspect he's in the pocket of the Chinese myself. So we will see it once again. It's coming, people. We have to prepare. We first have to prepare mentally to understand we've still got a battle in front of us. And we're still going to have to stand and fight. You people can't lay back on your big backsides and let Trump do everything. Because number one, Trump is, 78 years old? He's a lame duck president going in because he can't run again. I would, no doubt in my mind, that he is adapt to critical thinking, or he could not have survived these last 7-8 years with everything that's happened to him. Especially at his age, because he's not a young man either. So, yeah, we can't just lay back and say, oh, well, okay, Trump's got it. No, Trump doesn't have it. You have it at the moment. You, the majority of the American citizenship, we have it at the moment. We've got to do more. So, thought I might be able to finish this subject matter out with two podcasts, but I've already see that I've went over my 30-minute time limit that I like to keep the podcast to already. So I'm going to end episode 2, the psychological warfare and the fear-based campaigns, i.e. the COVID campaign, with this until part 3 comes along. It's coming again. It's in the plans, and it's working already. They're working the plan right under our nose. When somebody asks me something that they need to fix or accomplish in their life or change in their life, first thing I ask them, what's your plan? What is your plan? You got to have a plan. And then the second thing is, you have to work the plan. If you don't work the plan, it wasn't any good to have the plan. So these people, the criminal element, the foreign entities, they have the plan. They have the plan. And they're starting to work it again. So we got to prepare and come up with the right solutions to counter the attack that's coming. I'll see you in episode 3.